Hello, welcome to episode 39 of the Cadence Feed. It's been a bit. I didn't actually realize quite how long it's been until about 5 minutes ago when I looked back at our last podcast and turns out it was July. We're here now and excited to wrap up the year. I'm with Katie and Ben. How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm also surprised. I feel like we had another one this fall, but guess not.
Well, to be fair, we have done some live streams, and we had Cadence Amplify. So I feel like we've been around, we've been doing things, our faces have been out there. But I am very surprised that we haven't had a podcast since July. So hopefully 2025, we will do better and be more consistent about getting this podcast out, because we have avid listeners like my father. And I'm sure there's others out there too who look forward to these episodes. So, and we just really enjoy them. It's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I'm really excited about talking about is all that we have done in 2024, since it has been a minute. We can also look forward to what is coming in 2025 as it relates to Cadence and the WordPress landscape. And so we have a lot to celebrate.
Yeah, that's really good. Honestly, like, we're going to talk about things that's we like our highlights, but there's a lot more than even we can get to in this podcast. And we'll get a blog post out about that. Because there's just been so much that has happened and done. And, you know, we think a lot people want to know about product, but like even internally, we've had, you know, Katie came in then in the last year, we've had like staff changes, and as well as like we did an SEO audit on the Cadence site, and we've done like different things internally, as we've been, you know, growing the team and getting more systems in place. We have a much more robust QA system than we did a year ago. So there's just a lot that, you know, doesn't really fit into the podcast, but like a lot has happened in the last year.
Yeah. There's also been a lot of personal updates. Hannah is working remotely now. Do you want to share about what your current adventure is?
Yeah. And actually, I guess since the last podcast, I also got married.
So, oh yeah,
that's fun.
That's crazy.
I know, it's been a while.
She's no longer Hannah Rittner.
I know, it's sad. But this probably brings some clarity to all the people who have always thought that Ben and I were husband and wife. Instead, we are brother and sister. But now that we have different last names, that maybe will clear things a bit more.
Yeah.
But yeah, currently traveling the world a bit. My husband and I both work remote, so we're kind of doing that digital nomad life for a bit. So I'm currently in Colombia. And yeah, it's been fun and wild. And we're mostly staying on East Coast time to try and be in sync with our fellow coworkers, but we're having fun.
That's awesome. And I moved cross country. I moved from Phoenix to Texas. Well, I guess Phoenix, Arizona, to the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area. And there's been some house drama, so we will officially close on our house the day after Christmas, which will be fun. I'm looking forward to that. Ben, how about you? What about a personal update from you?
Well, my life largely consists of this job and then four kids that are 2 3-year-olds, a 6-year-old, and an 8-year-old. So it is crazy and loads of fun, and 2 boys and 2 girls. And so it's just lots of everything. But I just recently shared with our team something I wanted most of my life was a decent telescope, and just recently got one, and I'm very excited about that, and the kids are very excited about that. So that's going to be something that this season is marked by, is like getting this telescope up and seeing some of the things in our solar system. So
that would be awesome. Oh, wow. And you live in the mountains, so it's like double gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, I think Glacier National Park is on the list of like one of the top places to do stargazing, and because it's so dark in that area, there's a lot of wilderness area kind of north of me. So I'm 3 hours south of Glacier. So basically what's crazy is I could get into the woods just north of town and cross one road and get all the way to Canada. And so there's just so much wilderness in this area.
It's crazy.
And that makes for dark skies. And so, yeah, I'm pretty excited to, yeah, hopefully see some cool stuff.
That's interesting you say that, because what I would say the best stargazing night of my life was in Glacier National Park at Two Medicine Lake. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So sweet.
Well, let's dive in.
Yeah. Let's do it. The year has really held a lot. It's been crazy to kind of look back and be like, oh, that was this year that that happened. And one of those things that kind of shocked me was that just the start of this year, we launched Cadence AI, which was such a big deal because it took us a very long time to get it out. It was like delays and testing and testing and testing. And then when it launched, it was this huge deal and kind of this like game changer a bit. And that was just January. So that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about AI too, as far as the future of it in the back half of this podcast. But that has been really helpful, especially for DIYers who are not sure where to start when building a website. In fact, we did a YouTube video series as well, all about building an animal shelter website. So if you haven't checked that out on YouTube, you should do that, because I do walk through a whole tutorial on how to get started with Cadence AI and then customize it for a real life example. So check that out if you haven't.
Yeah. Yeah. AI has been really, it's really key, and it's got more hype right now. People are like, yeah, okay, it's fine. Like this is more hype than actual usefulness, but like the further along we get, the more and more useful, even from when we launched in January to today, there's been quite a lot of back-end changes where we've been updating things, not only just like language models with OpenAI, but as well as like some of the ways in which we show the AI content with patterns and how we organize that. That's improving over time. And there's a lot more that we can do there and a lot of exciting things we're working on in that area.
That's awesome. Yeah, super exciting. All the AI stuff, even still, I think it's amazing that you can just go make a couple clicks and have this beautiful website. And it's exciting to see how far it's come, and then even just kind of mind-blowing to think of where it could end up going. Some other exciting changes that we made this year were not changes really, but updates we made were to ShopKit. We added some swatches for the archives, which gives you the ability to like click on a shirt from an archive and see the different colors of that shirt without having to click into the product. So it just makes it really easy and seamless and more powerful for user engagement. What other ShopKit updates did we make?
Yeah, I mean, so we just recently launched badges, which is a nice way to like highlight products in your archive in terms of like, this is new or on sale or whatever, featured, any of the kind of stuff. And that's great. I think there's a lot more. We're looking at Quick View coming out real soon for ShopKit. There's also been a ton of like refactoring work on the back end. We put a whole new settings UI in, and we updated a lot of the code base to like better work with the updates that WooCommerce itself is making. So there's a lot there. I still think it's like ridiculously powerful as a tool for customizing your product templates and your like giving yourself that ability to have a really unique, not just like, oh, that's WooCommerce feel, but like a really unique ordering feel is super cool. So I love ShopKit. I think there's a lot more that we're even looking at doing there in the coming year. And it's like a product that it's just so fun to modularly add on and on and on. So yeah, looking for more to come from that. I think, you know, even with that, one of the things we're looking at doing for people who are wanting to get into e-commerce, but really want to get in super easy without the WooCommerce overhead and all of that, we're looking at adding payments into forms. So like, as we jump to one of the highlights from this last year is like we did a lot of improvements to our form block by adding like conditional forms, form analytics. One of the things we're going to do in the coming year is add payments and then multi-step forms. And so if you're interested in doing more e-commerce stuff, but you're not ready to go into the ShopKit level of like, I want WooCommerce and custom product page, you just want to start selling something like a digital download or things like that, we're working on a way to do that just within the form block where you can add a Stripe payments in and take payments with the forum. And so that's pretty exciting. That's something that's both a highlight because we did a lot of work there in adding new connection points and stuff with our forum, but something that like coming in the future, we're doing even more with multi-step and payments.
Yeah. And we can't forget about the advanced header block either. That was a labor of love to get out, but it's going to set a foundation for what we have coming up in 2025, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But the advanced header block is game changing, truly. Like, we were the first block builder for WordPress to bring anything like this to market. And it was really exciting. And we've gotten a ton of really positive feedback from the community who have used it. And I think it's really game changing.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like the future of building headers in WordPress. And as we get more into full site editing and having that as an option within the Cadence theme, this is a critical point to be able to actually build a robust and dynamic header, not just in the customizer or not just with the default header controls that WordPress gives you, which is extremely limiting when it comes to doing any kind of mobile header versus desktop header, mega menus, all like things that you need, sticky, all that kind of stuff. This header builder solves a lot of that. And so, yeah, it was a huge undertaking, one that we had really talked about and worked through and had tried like outlining what exactly does this need and how's it going to work for a long time, and then finally got through all of the stuff. And it's very complicated from a technical level, pulling this off, giving you like the visual editor inside of the Gutenberg editor to where you can drag the things around and all that. It's a lot of complex code that makes all that happen. And yeah, it's really exciting because it's like, this is the key stumbling block to doing things in full site editing.
Didn't we add like 30,000 lines of new code when we launched that one block alone? Or I mean, it was a group of three blocks, but that feature.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah. There's a lot in there, and it's really exciting. That is going to unlock so much more for WordPress and being able to do more, and especially as we do more in full site editing.
It's so awesome. There's not many times that I wish that we all worked in an office, but in instances like that, like when we launch a new product, I just envision us all like coming out of our cubicles and like celebrating and like having cake and being like, we did it. Like that was a big one. Like, similar to getting Cadence AI out, it felt the same. Just like this huge undertaking and so much energy from so much of the team. And obviously the devs are working super hard, and then support teams working super hard to get documentation out and to make sure that they're really well familiar with the product we're launching. And then of course, Cadence AI and marketing, like just trying to get the word out about what's happening. So yeah, that felt like a very exciting moment where I wish we could all have just hugged in person. I'm like, yeah, we did it. Let's eat some cake.
There's definitely a lot of pivots along the way. And that's like typical with building anything in WordPress and stuff. But with that one in particular, it was like, okay, we think we're there. And then it'd be like, no, we got to do all of this other stuff too, because this doesn't work, where we would get user feedback or feedback internally that was like, this is okay, but it's not quite there. Like, it's not quite there. We had to keep going back and figuring out how do we make this flow better from onboarding into it, as well as like the controls more robust. And yeah, it's awesome. If you haven't tried.
One other thing I was going to mention that I really loved, and I think our users loved too, was being able to have that beta round of access to test it, since this was such a big feature. We can't do beta rounds for everything we release, or we would develop really slowly, but on those really big features, that was great. And that's how we knew that we had something really golden with this particular set of blocks. And then we also just at Black Friday launched Cadence Insights. Ben, you want to talk about it?
I was just going to bring that up because Cadence Insights is this incredibly powerful tool. And unlike these other big ones at Cadence AI and Advanced Header, we were talking about them for so long and creating this buildup. And then I feel like Ben just overnight was like, oh, here's Cadence Insights. And we were like, oh, wait, what? Like, this is amazing. Where did this come from? So Ben, tell us more about that.
That's largely how it went. Is like, I had wanted to do this for a long time. And I finally was like, cleared some of my schedule and cleared some of my stuff I had to do. And I gave myself a couple weeks to just go and figure this out, which isn't totally true. Like, I had done a lot of preliminary stuff in the last year of like testing out different ways that you could do A/B testing and researching A/B testing. But then the start to finish development on that was very quick compared to a lot of other stuff because I'd done some preliminary work and was able to just go in and think, you know, we already had so much code around building custom post types in WordPress from a standpoint of like inside the editor. We actually back end are building the A/B testing block as a custom post type that like a lot of the code I could pull from other places inside of Cadence and say, okay, but I want it to function like this in the output. So even the whole like driving force for analytics, because we did form analytics, I had a basis to be able to pull, okay, we're going to be similar to this. We're going to do analytics this way. But yeah, getting that out has been really fun. It's one of those ones where we started using it on Cadence before we even had it in the hands of our audience because we were so excited about this is going to be really helpful in being able to learn. So yeah, it's been live on Cadence site for like 2 weeks before we even launched the product and we're still using it. Super fun. So
what yeah, are you testing?
If you wanted,
can you share details?
I mean, right now we're currently testing, does it change our conversion rate and our revenue if we show price with the yearly price and the monthly price there or just the yearly price? So some people think about how they are budgeting for a website via monthly price because hosting is priced that way and so much. And so if you're thinking about it that way, we wanted to show that price, something we're testing. And so that's like really interesting data. Also during Black Friday, we just got a bunch of data. We didn't even test anything real. We just used it because it's so good at collecting. How many times does this button get clicked? And how many times does this? And like we used it for that to be able to track how many people are clicking versus converting. Where are they getting stuck in terms of like, we know they clicked to check out, how many of those actually did check out and stuff like that. So it's like very useful as an analytics tool as well as A/B testing because you can see just a more like actionable data where you're like, I just want to know how many people click this button and then how much revenue does that generate for me? Things like that. So it's fun. Yeah.
One thing I was surprised by was when we ran so many tests on that data that you think that there is a clear winner because of one metric. And then you are evaluating some of the other things you're testing as well. And it's like, wait, like we get more clicks on the free bundle if we go with option A, but we get more clicks on the essential bundle if we go with option B. And so if you had just done one test, you would have thought, oh, well, this one's the clear winner, but it's driving people to a free version versus, you know, one that is a paid product, which serves the business, right? And helps continue to build and support all of our amazing users. So I just think that it's so fascinating that you can run multiple tests, not just one. Like Google Analytics is somewhat limiting just because the data is so hard to understand and analyze. So this is a tool that even small business owners can implement right away and use and take actionable steps towards improving their conversions. It's great. Yep.
Yeah. And critical to that is the revenue at the back end. So it's one thing to say they showed up here and which button did they click? It's another to go. And did that actually lead to revenue? Because if everybody clicks on a thing, but nobody checks out once they like, then you have a problem with like, we're not telling them enough information before they click the button. And you can see that. Whereas like, if you have your click to checkout, you're like, oh, we're definitely telling them enough information because when they get to checkout, they're ready to buy. They're actually ready to buy. And so stuff like that is huge. Most A/B testing stuff has no way of hacking or connecting into WooCommerce to actually give you real data. Or, and we did this at launch, we support SureCart as well. So like WooCommerce or SureCart, you can see what actual sales did this generate from like pull in and see the actual revenue that's come in, which is, you know, a key metric, but one that is often missed when you're A/B testing. You're just looking at like, did the user click this or this?
Interesting. I'm curious how the test is working with the monthly versus yearly. I would for sure click on monthly because I just like to see a lower number. And I feel like that's a general consensus across the board. But it looks like people are paying less if they can see that, even though it equates to the same amount.
Yeah. In that particular test, initial results showed that while more people clicked on the full bundle, it didn't actually lead to more revenue. And so what that to me shows is that ultimately people are going to make the price when they see the full price. Not that we were ever hiding the full price. The full price was right under the monthly price, right? But that if it doesn't work to trick a customer, not that we were trying to do that, but you get what I'm saying. Like if you show a customer a low price and then they get to check out and see a higher price, you didn't trick them. You just actually created a problem because now they're not going to buy once they see the higher price at checkout. And so I think the things that we're learning from some of that is like, there are people that want to see the monthly price, but perhaps we test with it being smaller than the yearly price being larger. So that way, if you need that data of like, how much is this per month? It's there for you, but we're not creating the sense of like you getting to the checkout and being like, oh, I misread that. This is more expensive than I thought. Then abandoning the whole checkout. And literally like you could have people that are like, well, that's way different than what I was thinking. So then they don't even go to the lower plan or whatever. And so that's kind of like, it's tricky to pull that data. Cause on one hand you could say, well, we get a lot more clicks on our full bundle if they see the monthly price with the yearly price, but that doesn't actually lead to a lot more sales.
It's interesting. Well, we will definitely be making more noise about Cadence Insights because it is such a powerful tool and we want to make sure that everyone knows about it. So more on that in 2025. Another noteworthy thing that happened in 2024 is we pushed out a lot of patterns into our Cadence design library. I think now there's like well over 800 patterns, which is pretty significant. And some actually we just pushed out this week. We have 3 new beautiful timeline patterns and 3 new coming soon / maintenance mode patterns. So I will probably be using one of those timeline patterns to create our highlight wheel for 2024. And everyone else should too, because it just makes it so simple.
Yeah. Ben, will you speak to why we decided to roll out patterns for the timeline instead of developing a block for that?
Yeah. I mean, some of it is like, what do you need the block for? Because timeline blocks can be used for a lot of different things, right? Sometimes you want a timeline block where you actually want it to sync to your blog post and you want it to pull in dynamically, which is like, that's a totally different thing than like, hey, I just want to be able to like click and add a date and add a thing. And ultimately, the development cost, if you will, of going and developing a simple timeline block where you put in a date and whatever you wanted to, we were like, this is actually very easy with the current blocks we have if you just build it out. And so building out a pattern made a lot more sense where we can then kind of punt or table what does a timeline block look like in Cadence and get a better idea of how people want to use it. Because ultimately, if people just want to use it for their end of year, here's what we just did. Using existing blocks is probably a better way to do that because then you have total control. And you're not limited to a block. And then what controls does that block give you? Whereas like what could be more interesting is if you're doing something with blog posts and you want to show those in a timeline, or you're doing something with some other dynamic data, it's like we can get a better understanding of, okay, if you have this option that we spelled out for you from a pattern, what is the actual need then past that? And is it dynamic content? And what exactly do you want to see in that dynamic content? So that right now is like, we're looking for feedback on, you know, you can do most things with just the existing blocks and we've given you patterns for like, here's how you would implement that. Now tell us, what is it that you're not able to do? And what is it that you want to be able to do use case wise? And then we can actually develop the right block, because ultimately, we went to go and build that and we were like, is this really necessary if we're not making it dynamic? And so thinking about it from a dynamic standpoint is where it could get really more complicated, but we need to understand those use cases better. So hence the patterns.
Yeah, and the coming soon, we didn't really highlight that feature. We will have that in the blog post. So if you missed that, we launched a brand new feature for coming soon or maintenance mode. So you can let people know that your site's under construction or you have a website coming soon. And we will have, like we mentioned, that full blog post of everything that we did in 2024. So there's not everything we can cover in this short amount of time on this podcast today, but check that out if you're wondering all of the other amazing things we were able to develop and build in 2024. Do you guys want to talk about what's coming?
Yeah. And I think just right into the segue of what's coming, like the pattern library, we did a ton of updates in the library, not just like with adding new, but we've gone back and we've updated some that are there to make them better and work better, especially when you're switching colors and stuff like that. But one of the things that we want to do is just improve the way you find those. So like there's 800. I'm sure that most people have not seen them all, which means that there's potentially patterns in there that you're like, man, I wish I'd have known that existed. That would have saved me time here or would have given me a good idea of like, it would have given me inspiration for like, oh, I see that pattern. I'm going to fill that out with content. And so we want to improve how you find those patterns as well as continue to improve the patterns themselves. So we're looking at like organizationally, and this goes for people who are selling pattern libraries as well. Like how do we do subcategories? How do we do things like related to, so that like visually related might be something we add in the future where you could like find a pattern and say like, show me the ones that are visually similar so I can see if I want, if I know I want an image on the right, for example, and text on the left. We have 30 patterns that have that basic setup, but have different things on the left from lists and buttons and different ways to show the background behind that or the image on the right. And so being able to know visually like, oh, these are all the ones that are visually similar. I know I want a layout like this, but I actually want this one down here and not the one that I clicked on. That's something we're thinking about from a like, how do we show these patterns better? As well as like, we currently do this inside of Cadence. We want to give it to the people who are building cloud libraries, that ability to tab into full page layouts instead of having your page layouts exist along with your patterns. So there's a lot of library builders who have like full page layouts and then patterns, and we want to just make it easier for users to navigate those two. So that's some of the stuff coming in patterns, that just how we're thinking about patterns, but also like that we want to get out for everyone using the Pattern Hub plugin and selling libraries.
That's going to be so amazing. I know there are a lot of pattern library designers who are excited about that for sure.
I want to know what is coming with full site editing, because everyone else is going to want to know this too. And is it going to take over? Will I still be able to not use full site editing? Like, give me an update on that.
Yeah. So full site editing in WordPress is kind of a, it's like a fork in the pathway of how you use WordPress. So if you've not tried it, you can go and get a full site editing theme. 2025 is a full site editing theme. And essentially what it does is it takes away a lot of the ways in which we traditionally use the customizer in WordPress. And the customizer is just like a way in which you can edit settings and it changes globally the styles of your site. Full site editing moves everything into blocks. And so in essence, every component of your site, even things that are traditionally inside of a template, is something that you can go and edit and change. That hasn't actually made it more flexible, because then you're reliant on the blocks to be to give you that flexibility, which is why we built the header builder, because the blocks for building a header were so limited that you were actually much better off working in the customizer. So that's like what full site editing is, and it's two different paths. I don't foresee a time in the near future, or really in the next 5 years, where either path is going to be forced on anyone. I think you will, if you built your site with a classic theme, and that's what they're calling them now, you will have support. Like, there's no point in time where you'll be like, you have to now move to a full site editing theme, because there is still good reasons to be in a classic theme. You can do things more dynamically. You're not exposing potential clients and stuff to like the template builder that exists in full site editing. And there's not a whole lot of things that like make it better. It's just like long-term could give you more control in the end. And so ultimately there's going to be those two paths. Today we're like 5 years after Gutenberg. No, we're more than that. 6 years after Gutenberg came out. It's been a while. Anyway, 6 years after Gutenberg came out, there's still sites that are using the classic editor. And that's going to continue for another 6 years because no one's going to get forced to have to remake their site into this new thing. But that is a key part of full site editing, is that it's not a one for one. There's no way to be like, this is going to exactly be the same once you get into full site editing mode. And so with Cadence, we're going to present you an option to switch to full site editing mode, but it won't be a one for one. It will then use full site editing templates, which are different than PHP based templating. And so that means different controls, different settings, some different styling. The styling switches from inside the customizer to inside the style guide in the block editor. And so we're going to make the point at which users can click and choose full site editing. And if you're like brand new into Cadence, we'll expose that option early on of like, how do you want to use Cadence theme? But we won't be forcing it on anyone. And as far as recommendations go, it kind of depends. When we're ready with full site editing, people are going to be like, well, should I switch to it? And I would say, like, if you have an existing site in classic editing, no. Unless you just really want to spend time on your website and do something, fine, remake your site in full site editing. But there's not going to be a compelling reason to switch. It's more about supporting both paths, depending on which path you like as a user. So I think that's key. If you hate full site editing, that's fine. You don't need to use it. And if you really love full site editing, we're going to create that option where you can use that with the Cadence theme. So that's essentially the big things. There is some, like, if you're using certain plugins, you probably don't want to be in full site editing yet because those plugins are not really prepped for it. WooCommerce being one of them. WooCommerce has a lot of full site editing support, but there's still so much coming. It's still very untested in terms of like what it currently exists for full site editing. So I, you know, if you're looking for a recommendation and you have a WooCommerce site, or you're using any of the like big plugins out there, LearnDash, the events calendar, or any of the like other learning management solutions, event solutions, some of those big plugins, I'd probably stick with a classic theme for right now, just because there's more people using those. There's a better stability in that area, but full site editing will be a thing. And so just to be abundantly clear, it'll be an opt-in. If you want to use it in that mode, it won't be a one for one, but it will be something that we will try to make certain things match. But you go from things being controlled with settings to things being controlled inside of a template. So it won't be an exact one for one.
Yeah. So it's not a new product that we're launching. We are integrating it into the existing Cadence theme, and we're giving users the choice, essentially. I know that was a big topic of discussion within our Facebook group. If you guys are not a part of the group and you're listening, please join. It's the web creator community on Facebook. And people are asking, like, if I have the lifetime bundle, am I going to get access to this full site editing theme if it's a new product? And our answer is it's not a new product. It's going to be built in within the Cadence theme already, which is, I think, amazing. I think that's a really
smart. But also, to be clear, if you have the lifetime bundle, you get everything that comes out from Cadence as part of the thing. So
no one
should be asking that question regardless. Even if we were like, oh, it's a new product, you'd still get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Anything else you're excited about, Ben, in 2025? I know we've got a new AI page builder coming.
Yeah, so we've talked about this before, and we kind of tabled it for a little while as we worked on some other things and kind of rehash some things with AI, but we are building a, like, prompt the AI. It'll give you a layout, then you'll be able to change the layout, and then it'll give you content for that page. So with like a multi-step AI thing. So we're looking at that for pages. We're looking at that for blog posts, where we prompt an AI. It gives you a blog outline, and then you adjust the outline, and then you build a, it generates a first draft. So there's things like that that we're working on. The page one will be coming soon, where it'll generate a page for you. A lot of work being done on that right now. And I think there's a lot more room for AI, and we're still experimenting with kind of what that means, whether it's, you know, we've looked at image stuff, we've looked at a lot of different things. I think in general, my feeling toward AI is that it's going to continue to work its way, and how do we use it to do stuff for us? It's going to work its way into everything we're doing, especially in the websites and stuff. So I would expect more from AI in the coming year. Yeah.
That's awesome. And what about global styles? I know that's like one of the top feature requests that we get all the time as well.
Yeah. So we've been thinking, and we've actually done a lot of preliminary work for global styles in terms of like what we, from a very technical level, we have to move a lot of our CSS output into variables that can then be dynamically changed with global styles. And so what that means is we need to pull styles out of how we're currently rendering them and putting them into variables, and then adjusting those variables can be easily done from like a global CSS style. And that work started with the header builder. Like a lot of the header is already set up that way, and we're doing it with more and more blocks. And so we'll probably start doing some basic global style stuff on a block level in the coming months, and then gradually create a more robust global styling setup where you can, you know, kind of, the ultimate goal is like, I want to set up my heroes a certain way, globally style them, and then control that global style from a global place and update all of my heroes across my site. So that's the idea, and one that we're like continually working toward. We want to make sure it's done really well and not like janky. So there's some refactoring.
Everyone will appreciate that.
Yeah.
Which you could probably just go ahead and say that's like a cadence says most things.
Yes. We don't want to do the janky. That's for sure.
I love it. I'm excited about what's coming. I think that's all of the highlights that we really wanted to cover for 2024 and what's coming in 2025. I mean, there's so much more that we can't share right now just because of time constraints. And also we're still, you know, working feverishly behind the scenes at developing a lot of cool tools that we know our users want and need. And I have to say, it's really amazing to be a part of Cadence. And I've came on in April, and it's been quite a journey, and it is an amazing team to work for. So all of our Cadence customers are in really, really, really good hands, and it's just been fun.
We're glad you're here, Katie.
Yeah, super.
And another plug for Katie's videos. I mean, she came in and was like, okay, I'll just bust out these videos, and she's created this whole series on creating a website with Cadence, and it's awesome. So I highly recommend.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot more videos too. We really want to prioritize some shorter videos. We've heard a lot of people saying like, we don't have time to sit and watch a 30-minute to an hour long video, but sometimes it takes some explaining. But so we'll be coming out with some more shorter videos as well. And we've heard from users and want to respect that too.
Cool. Well, I will be excited to update everyone on where I'll be working from in episode 40. But yeah, it's been fun to do a little recap, fun to be here with you guys. And to those listening, enjoy the holidays. I hope everybody finds just a time of rest and rejuvenation, and just has good energy going into the new year. So thanks guys for being here.
Thanks.
Yeah.
See y'all next time.
See ya.